Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Lots to discuss on the podcast today. We're going to get into part three of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. I have a couple stray thoughts about that Netflix Mauricio show that I want to get into. And then, of course, this week's episode of Vanderpump Rules, which ended with the mid-season trailer for the rest of the season of Vanderpump Rules. And I want to play a little portion of that mid-season trailer for you all right now. So let's take a listen, and then we're going to talk about the mid-season trailer. We're going to talk about the new episode and all that good stuff. So this is, again, just, I think, like the second half of that mid-season trailer for Vanderpump Rules.
Joe, you're a liar. Let him go.
She just came over to make peace.
I don't want peace.
I feel like I just got extracted into like a parallel universe.
Ariana, wait, 1 second.
30 seconds with the audience.
You don't think I'm a if I died in a ditch?
Ariana, she talks about all you f***ers.
I now have f***ed up thoughts about Brock and Lala, one of my best friends, because I'm like, oh my God, can someone do that to me? You did that!
So what do I mean to you?
You mean a lot.
Because we're filming her because of life.
Sheena and Tom Zinsvall are really the stars of this season of Vanderpump Rules. Inexplicably, unexpectedly, I think certainly watching that one scene from last season after Scandoval, when we saw Sheena sit down with Tom Zinsvall on her Marina Del Rey couch and they had that compelling conversation where they were crying. Of course, it was such good TV, but I didn't expect them to come back this season and really make the whole season about their dynamic, because just wasn't expected. And I do have some complaints about the show, and I hate to start off this podcast with complaints to management. By management, I mean the Bravo HQ. But I'm going to anyway, because they're introducing way too many people to me at once, right? Because obviously this week on the show, we all had a little bit of a fright when we saw Joe in confessional for the very first time, did we not? I mean, I was expecting to meet her, but then when she sat down on the confessional chair, I was like, what's happening? And she crossed the legs, and I was like, what's going on? I can't get my heads around this woman. And of course, they're asking us to meet all sorts of people. We're getting to know Allie. We learn she's a Swiftie turned astrologer. We got Anne. We got Summer Moon. I'm still thinking about Satchel from last season. We got the redheaded gal that's fucking Tom and Katie coming up. We got Lala's petite assistant. And then Tom's friends, who Bravo don't think are compelling enough to mic up. And so these are a lot of people coming at me at once. All right. I'm already not able to get my bearings when I'm watching the show, because I'm like, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? What's going on there? What's going on there? Who's that person coming in to fuck one of these other new people? You know, it's a lot. It's a lot to wrap my brain around. And then, of course, you know, I got to do my due diligence when I'm going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules. So after the episode, I hop on the interwebs and I decide, oh, I'm going to watch the after show. You go to YouTube. I don't know if you've ever watched the Vanderpump Rules after show or any of the Bravo after shows. But I hop on over to, I think it was YouTube, though. Yeah. And I see that in the after show of this week, we had cast members coming back. So we had Jax sitting down with the Toms in the after show, and they're all being interviewed together against this like blue screen, and they're sitting in the chairs. And I put it on, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I must have put on the after show from another season. But then I'm thinking, that's actually a different face than I've seen of Jax's. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, wait, maybe this must be current. But then why is he sitting there down with them? And then I see Sheena sit down with Kristen Doty. And I'm like, wait a minute, is Kristen Doty back on this show? And then all of a sudden they start showing me on the after show for Vanderpump Rules. They're showing me realtors from the Valley. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Who the fuck is that? And they're people from the new show, The Valley. But they're just introducing me to way too many people all at once. And I'm just trying to get to know Joe at this point, because Joe is enough for me to wrap my brain around. That's going to take me weeks to just unpack. Right. Like when I saw Joe, her energy is going to be a lot to unpack. I mean, she stepped in front of that red light and reminded me of the honeycomb mascot. Remember back in the 90s, the honeycomb mascot when was frightening children sometimes, because it was like an intense energy. And I'm not saying looks-wise, Joe, I don't mean to, she looks like a beautiful gal. I'm not trying to insult her looks by any means, but I'm just saying, like, energy-wise, it was a lot to wrap my brain around. A lot to wrap my brain around. And so then you're asking me to meet this realtor man from the Valley who's going to be on a show at Jack's coming up. It's like, who is this? Why are they on the Vanderpump Rules after show? And I just feel like they're taking advantage of the fact that we're all so interested in Scandoval, and obviously they want to use that to help launch their new show, God bless. But you're just going to need to treat us all with baby gloves a little bit, because I am meeting too many people at one time, and I'm busy with Joe. I'm busy trying to understand Joe. So you cannot be throwing more people at the screen. Let's keep it. Let me get to know Summer Moon a little bit, and then you could start introducing the Valley people, because it's too much. And then also, I don't know, why are they all... Just put them all back on Vanderpump Rules then. If we're just going to have Kristen sitting down with Sheena Shea, then let's make our flagship show better, because it's been flopping. We're mid-season, and I don't remember a fucking thing that happened the whole first 7 episodes of the show. Nothing really happened. Anne was mopping the house. Like, that's what I watched for 6 episodes this season. And then now you're launching a whole nother show. Why didn't you get those people on Vanderpump Rules instead of make me watch 6 episodes where nothing happened? And then I've got to tune into the Valley, watch the realtor over there. I mean, come on. And look, will I be watching every second of that show, The Valley? Of course I will. Of course. Who do you think I am? What, you think I could resist that? Certainly not. I'm not that strong of a human being. And when Bravo presents me with a messy show like that and then teases me with the idea that Brittany might be, or Kentucky Muffin could be leaving that demon, Jax, then certainly I'm going to tune in. I'm sorry. A lot of you out there on your high horse saying, I'm not going to tune into that Valley show. I don't want to support Jax. Well, guess what? I don't either, but I'm going to. Fuck that. I'm sorry. But they're showing me, and then I'm seeing in the press, it's like Jax and Brittany, and I think it's probably fake and made up for the show, but I'm not going to watch every fucking second of it because I don't have strong enough morals to stand on and not watch it. Of course I am. So look, that's where we're all at right now, and none of us are proud of it. And by the way, I also want to blame Bravo for starving us of housewives in the upcoming month or so, and that's another way that is forcing us to watch this Valley spinoff. So I don't even have a choice. I'm not even really making a choice, quite frankly. The truth is, they're not scheduling enough on the programming blocks. And so I have no other choice. I'm literally forced to watch this show. So yes, I'll be watching and recapping here on Everything Iconic, and I'll probably be watching those after shows as well. But I'm not happy about it, and I'm going to complain, of course, to Bravo HQ, and I want them to know, and I want to know that I'm being heard. I need to know that I'm being heard. Anyway, yeah, I'm obsessed with Joe. We're going to talk a lot about Joe. I'm sorry, Joe, if you're out there listening to this podcast, you better turn it off, because I don't... Better press stop, Joe, if you're out there listening, because I have a lot of thoughts. And look, you're on our TV, so we got to judge. I'm sorry. That's what this whole thing is. But we'll get there. Also, by the way, did everyone else just fall in love with Allie this week? I mean, I got to meet her this past weekend, and she was just so lovely. Of course, I kind of expected to like her because she's from Ohio. And, you know, I just buddy up to any Midwesterner. I'm sorry. That's just who I am. And so I ended up just really loving her. And I got to hang out with her a little bit at this event. She was so lovely and nice and beautiful. And I don't know. I just felt like she was, I don't know. I got a good vibe. But by the way, that'll bite me in the ass in the future. Because we all know, remember, I was singing the praises of Rachel right before that Scandoval happened. She was on Everything Iconic. And I'm like, oh, I love you, Rachel. And then... You're the best. You know, I was just on a microphone interviewing her and saying she's just the best, sweetest gal. And then it turns out she was doing all these things behind our backs. And so, I don't know, always comes to bite me in the ass. And also that episode right before Scandoval happened, I was singing the praises of Tom Zinsval. So go back and listen to that. It was truly chilling. A day before the Scandoval leaked, I'm like, Tom is the best. So obviously don't listen to anything I have to say, is what I'm trying to say. But anyway, this week on the show, a lot of stuff is not happening because this show is boring right now. And it looks like it's looks like maybe some stuff to come will be good. I am excited for that mid-season trailer. And I'm curious about the Schwartz and that other gal who's also making out with Katie Maloney. I'm seeing some people are really liking Tom Schwartz's blonde hair. And to me, I can't do it. I'm not interested in that. I can't. I actually like physically... can't take that in. Like, my eyes just are rejecting it fully outright. And so, you know, God bless his hair follicles. But right now, I just can't take that in either, because I've got to meet all these people. And then you're asking me to look at that on screen. I simply cannot. Okay, we open this week on James and Allie and Hippie. They're having fun. We see Ariana in Tom's house. Anne's there. Tom just got back from Lake Tahoe. And he says he thinks the scandals wearing off. He says he had a really good trip. He tells Anne, he says people are humanizing him again. And what's so fascinating to me about the way these allegiances are working, right? Sheena and Lala and LVP very clearly have been overcorrecting, I believe, in terms of bringing Tom Sandoval back into this group. And we've talked about this a lot on the show about how obviously after Scandoval, we needed to have some bridge if they're all going to film together. But what's so curious to me is that it could have, I think, gone the leaned the other way, right? Like if Sheena and Lala would have been more siding with Ariana, then I think Tom would have been the ones to sort of be on the outskirts of the group. But it's so weird and crazy that like Ariana and Katie are somehow the outcasts in this group at this time, which is just, I feel like they overcorrected. I think LVP, Lala, and Sheena, they just went a little too far trying to rehabilitate Tom into this group. And so now it just is, I can't even believe that Katie and Ariana are the ones on the outskirts. And I'm looking at the show going forward. I'm like, oh, those two seem to be the ones that are most dispensable. Whereas I think if like Lala and Sheena would have had more allegiance to Ariana and Katie, then the show could have gone in like a female forward way. And I think those men would have been on the outskirts. And the same thing I think happened with Southern Charm a few seasons back. Do you remember? There was this like, I think it was like the first episode of one of the seasons, maybe like three seasons back or something, where it was like all the gals coming together. It was like Naomi and Chelsea and Madison. And they were all, remember, one of them was calling out that John guy at a dinner table. And they all, the gals all seemed to like bandy together against the whole conceit of like the good old boy of Southern Charm. And then it seemed like the show was kind of moving in that direction, almost like a Southern version of a Housewives or something where it's going to be focused on the gals. And then somehow, inexplicably, it went the opposite way. And then all the gals got fired. It was like, what the fuck? How did that happen? Like Naomi got fired. Chelsea got fired. Cameron, Cameron wasn't really part of that group who did that. But it was like all the gals got let go. And then we're focusing on Shep and Austin and Craig. And it's like, what the fuck? And it, obviously, it's just, I mean, largely representative, unfortunately, society that it's like suddenly the women are cast out and then we're focusing on Shep. It's like, what the fuck? Anyway, that's like a whole thing we can get into. And that's maybe too deep for this podcast. So let's get back to Villa Rosa, Sheena arriving in that Barbie pink, shall we? So she shows up and she's pissed about the Dancing with the Stars. Now, she says she cried so much in Tahoe, her eyelashes were dry and hurt, and she says she's going through grief with Sandoval. And then LVP is obviously trying to be like, oh, you, she's kind of like throwing everybody under the bus. Like she's throwing Ariana under the bus, and she wants Sheena to buddy on up to Tom Sandoval. And so she's trying to bridge that dynamic. And I was watching, wondering if LVP like gives them alts. Do you know what I mean? Like when Sheena sat down with LVP, there's something in my head that makes me feel like LVP just throws all the other cast members under the bus, depending on who she's sitting down with. She'll just throw everybody under the bus and she'll tell producers, like, you guys use what you need. Like, figure out my storyline and post. And then that's what'll happen. So I don't know. That's the kind of vibe I get. Because every time she sits down with someone, she's throwing somebody else under the bus. And it doesn't even feel like she feels that way. It just feels like she's doing it. And so I think like she sits down in front of that camera. She's like, who do you need me to throw under the bus? I mean, to throw Ariana under the bus? Like, who do we need to bridge the gap? Who do we need to throw under the bus? But I just think they lean too hard into throwing Ariana and Katie on. And Katie is the one I actually feel the most bad for in this whole thing. Because she just, her whole storyline last season, I feel like just got lost. And there's no, and now she's got to deal with Joe being on the show in the confessional. I can only imagine what Katie Maloney thought when she saw Joe sit down cross legs on that confessional. I mean, what is going on? She was probably so pissed they brought her in. Anyway, Sheena's pissed about Dancing with the Stars because she said she always wanted that. LVP's like, when I did Dancing with the Stars, that's what you said, you wanted that more than anything. And it's like, okay, LVP, you don't have to lay it on that thick. But anyway, Sheena was taking dance classes. And many of us are out there yelling at the screen, why the fuck were you in dance classes? Am I right? Did we all shout that at the TV screen? I mean, the neighbors heard me. So I was like, Sheena, what the fuck were you doing? The neighbor called up and was like, who's shouting at the TV screen? I said, don't worry, Sheena just made a comment that shocked me. But then I sat back and thought of it. And here's what I think happened, and I don't know this to be factual, but I think Sheena's reps were probably talking to the Dancing with the Stars casting people. And there was probably indication that it was like looking good for Sheena to be cast, right? Because those contracts and stuff can take a while. And Sheena's probably trying to get on the show for years now, obviously. And probably each season they're like, no, no, no. But maybe it was right. Or maybe scheduling worked out. And they're like, oh, maybe gonna have Sheena. They were in conversations with Sheena. And probably her rep said, it's looking good. We don't have the contract yet, but we've been in negotiations and it seems like it might happen. So Sheena signed up for dance classes. And then the scandal happened and Dancing with the Stars people were like, fuck Sheena. You know, no offense. She, you ain't good as gold right now. We got scandal. We got to get Ariana in front of the red light and doing the cha-cha. And so they brought Ariana in and said, we're done with Sheena's reps. They're not negotiating no more. So that's what I think happened. And so Sheena was upset about it because that's what I took, but that could be totally wrong. But in that case, I would think Sheena would feel like Ariana took her slot for that, because obviously Vanderpump Rules is not going to be the entire cast of Dancing with the Stars. Although I would like to replace some of those people that they cast in Dancing with the Stars, because I've seen the names. And so I don't even think it matters that we have more than one Vanderpump Rules person on there. And quite frankly, they should just do a whole season that's Vanderpump Rules, Dancing with the Rules, Dancing with the Waiters or something. I don't know. Just do a whole season like that. And because then we can get all these people that I'm trying to get to know and we can throw them in there because we're going to need a lot of people. And so we have the main cast and then we throw Joe on Dancing with the Stars and we watch Anne do a Paso Doble. And then we watch Summer Moon do, I don't know, some sort of hip hop inspired dance. I don't know. I'm not the one, you know, I'm not the choreographer, but we get some of these other people. I would like to see Lala's petite assistant doing a Disney week and Ken Todd too, by the way. Ken Todd, let's mic him up. And I said this on Twitter, but I would like to see Ken Todd in a scene with Joe because I just need to know how that would work. My brain just needs to see it just for a second. I just need to see the two of them interact real quickly. Bravo, if you could just do that. And I don't want other people in the scene. I just want the two of them, I don't know, somehow get them in a room together with a camera crew and just let us see the sparks fly. Because I feel like they could have a chemistry. And maybe that's totally off base. But I think they could have a comedic chemistry that would be surprising to us all and exactly what the show needs, because it needs something to pick up, because as it stands, we're struggling a bit. Anyway, so yeah, Sheena reveals to LVP she wants to do that. And they're kind of villainizing Ariana a little bit because Sheena, even in her confessional, she says she's come a long way from being my backup dancer. And I was like, she? It's hard. I find it very hard when my gals fight, you know, because I always want to root for the gals in Vanderpump Rules. And when they're fighting with each other, I think, uh-oh, what am I going to do? So anyway, Sheena, though, I'm mad at her this week. I am a little mad at her this week, Sheena. You hear me? You need to stop. And you keep saying it's about yourself. You want it to be about yourself, but Sheena's always been about yourself. And so it's okay. It's okay. But we love Shishi, and she's just hurt. She's hurt. And at this time, it was probably very difficult for Sheena to have conversations with Ariana in the way that they used to, because there was this whole whirlwind going on. And so I don't know. But also, she stop. And then Lala needs to stop, too. Like, what is going on with Lala? I've never always been, like, the biggest Lala fan. But I try to find the good. And I'm watching the season. I'm like, Lala, you need to cool it. When she was going after Katie later in the episode, and then she was telling Ariana she's got a post about Sheena and that thing, I understood what she was saying. Like, why can't you just comment on something? Like, Ariana, just comment on somebody's post and then it'll diffuse the situation. But then devil's advocate, I also understand, like, Sheena just didn't have to do the photo with that guy at that time. Like, Katie, I think, pointed out maybe later in the episode, it's like, you just didn't have to do it. You could have just, or it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. And then, because it wasn't just that. Remember around that time, it was like at BravoCon, Sheena went to his hotel room. There was all these things. And then the public was giving Sheena shit for it, but it's like, well, you're going to get shit if you do those things, right? Like, that's just the nature of cause and reaction, or what's the, I don't know, cause and effect. Anyway, Lala and Ariana are getting coffee. Lala tells Ariana to just have a chat with Shishi. Ariana has these boundaries, and then Lala is mad that really Ariana's not engaging in the show mechanics. And so I think Lala knew probably very early on into filming that if she did buddy up with Ariana too much, then eventually they'd be on an island and she didn't want to be like how Katie is right now with Ariana on that island alone. But then it does feel disingenuous because in real life, I think someone like Lala should have had Ariana's back a little bit more sturdy. Does that make sense? And Sheena too, by the way. And I don't know if they just tell us this, you know, sometimes on these shows, they're like, they're my best friend. And you're like, are you using best friend properly? Or is it like a TV show friend? And that's what gets confusing with me on these shows. Because I really think like when they tell us, she's my best friend. I'm like, is she? Or even with the Rachel stuff. Remember it was like Ariana and Rachel saying, oh, she's my best friend. And it's like, were you? Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's a mind fuck for me watching these shows. And that goes back to my original hypothesis in that, or my original thesis statement in that we need to stop introducing new people because I'm getting overwhelmed. I'm trying to get the mechanics of these people we got. But Ariana thinks that Tom is using Sheena to flip the dynamics. And it's true, probably. I know what you're
doing. Tom Zandeville.
But speaking of dynamics, you know what is also going to shift these dynamics is bringing in a wild card. And this week, that wild card is Christina Kelly. That's right, Christina Kelly, who I did not expect to see when she came strolling on in. And Christina Kelly is good for this show in that capacity, because if you noticed when she sat down, she was asking a bunch of questions to the group. She's like, why is Ariana doing this? Why do you feel this way, Sheena? Why do you do this? She's the interviewer that these shows need. All of the reality shows need someone who's going to get in there and not make the scene about themselves, right? Like, so sometimes we don't need a narcissist on the shows. Sometimes we just need a Christina Kelly who is not going to make the scene about herself. She's just going to pop on in there at lunch and say, Shishi, what are you doing? What the feck? You know, and so that's what's good. And some of the housewives, I think, need that as well. I mean, you always need that kind of Cynthia Bailey presence who might not always give a whole ton, but like you need them to kind of get to the bottom of things and be like a neutral presence in the group. So anyway, it was exciting to see Christina Kelly, and I hope she's well. And speaking of well, I hope Summer Moon's well too, because Summer Moon broke her arm and I'm worried about it. And Christina Kelly's in mommy mode too. She should be on the Valley. She should be there on the Valley just to ask questions. I'd like her to sit down in the after show and ask some of those people who the fuck they are, because I didn't know. And so maybe we need Christina Kelly on over there in the after show, sit down with the realtors in the Valley and just say, who the fuck are you? And let us know in a very basic way. I think they sort of did that in the after show, but I think I would absorb it a little bit easier if it was just Christina Kelly. Because at a certain point, I just block it out if I don't know who they are. I'm just saying, I don't know. But Christina Kelly could certainly get to the bottom of it. Oh, and they also, this is another bamboozlement. They start talking about Jax. And it's like so obvious that they're setting up the Valley. We haven't talked about Jax in years. They fired all those people from the show. We never even got a resolution of why they were fired from the show. And then all of a sudden, they're being brought up again. It is like a mind fuck. Because didn't they even release a statement like publicly, the network like released a statement publicly firing some of these people? And then all of a sudden we're seeing them back and I'm like so confused about it. Like it wasn't even addressed on Vanderpump Rules, like what the fuck happened to Kristen and Jax and everybody. And then now it's like, what are we doing? Can't they just explain like, yeah, they were fired and now, I don't know. Is that asking too much? I'm getting too inside baseball, right? Like they can't do that because it's too much information, I guess, or it's too much for the audience to understand the behind the scenes mechanics. Is that why they don't explain like why people are coming and going and stuff? And also, I think this is going to be controversial to say, some of you are going to yell at me, but I do think that the dynamics would be so different amongst this group of people if Stassi was still on the show, because I don't think Stassi would have done the LVP Lala Sheena route. I actually think Stassi would have been like, fuck the guy route. And so she would have like, I think, swayed the group more towards the Ariana and Katie side. And she was also a powerful presence amongst that group. And I think she would have swayed the group to go on that side. And then I think it would have been the Toms that would have been on the outskirts. So I'm not saying that they should bring her back. I'm just saying, pointing that out, I think it would have been a different dynamic if they would have had. And I'm surprised sort of Lala, I know she keeps bringing it back to herself and saying like she's learned and grown and she has learned that you can't hold on to that anger. And I don't know what she's exactly saying, but I feel like she's saying those types of things. And it's just not what I expected. I don't know what I expected out of Lala, but it seems so crazy to me that she's just seemingly back and in good graces with Tom. And Sheena was talking about Tom welcoming her at the upfronts. And it's like, I don't know. It's just an upfront photo. Like Sheena was making it seem like they were besties because he like let her take a photo with the group at the upfronts. And Sheena says that to Katie and Katie's like, well, what the fuck? What? And Katie even cries at this lunch table because she's like, you guys are not taking into account what happened with me and what this man did to me. He was really like instrumental in breaking up my marriage. And he's also said all these horrible things about me. And they're all just sort of like staring at her and they don't really care. And she's saying this with tears in her eyes. And they're all basically saying to her face, like, we don't fucking care, Katie. Like, It doesn't matter to us. We're here for a paycheck. We got a show to do. You know, Sheena's a showgirl. So she's like, I'm going to do the show. And so that's what she's doing. But the upfront thing, I was like, Sheena, that's not necessarily enough of a reason to be besties with someone, because that person also, it seems, started rumors about your husband having sex with somebody, mistress or another person, or who was it? And then also, Tom was with Rachel when they filed the restraining order against you. And so obviously, again, he probably had some sort of influence in that decision. So if anybody had influence in decision to have me go to court and filed a restraining order against me, I would certainly never talk to them again. Why would I want to be friends with that person? It's wild. It's wild. And I just want to say, Shishi, stop trying to be friends with that man, because again, everybody keeps saying like how influenced Rachel was. So she would have been influenced by Tom at that time to file that restraining order. So it was both of them, I believe, allegedly, that's my thought, that would have been the ones filing that restraining order. Not to mention those rumors, and then also fucking over your best friend that you tell us, you know, after all those years. So it's like, Shishi, what are you doing? At least Lala makes a little more sense. Lala and Ariana, I don't think they ever had the closest relationship. They've gone through their ups and downs, and I don't know that she's like looking to be like best friends with Tom. I think she's more looking at it like filming with Tom. But with the Sheena stuff, I'm like, Shishi, girl. Where do you think you're going, girl? Was that a Lady Gaga song? Yeah. Where do you think you're going? And by the way, I just know, I can see through all the mechanics of what Tom's doing. Again, trying to get Shishi on his side. I know what he's doing. I know what Tom Sensible's doing. I know what you're
doing. Tom Sandoval. I know.
Anyway, Sheena revealed that she's up with the bartender of this place that they're at. And they sort of move the conversation away from Tom Sensible. And then Katie starts crying. She's like, I gotta stop talking about him. And they're like, we already moved on, Katie. Like, what are you... And Katie, I think, just got maybe stuck in the moment. Like, she didn't realize... She didn't realize that she started talking about fucking the bartender. And so she was still in her brain. So the whole table was like, oh, Sheena, like, you fuck that guy. Like, you fucked the bartender? Like, when was that? Was it recent? Christina Kelly started asking them questions, just like the journalist she is. When did it happen? Who was it? What? And she's asking those questions. So the whole table has basically moved on. And Katie's like, I need to stop talking about Tom Sandoval. And they're like, Katie, like, P.S. we did. We. I feel like production was probably watching the monitors being like, did she realize they already did move on? Like, did she? I don't think she heard. Maybe she missed it. Or I imagine like Lala and Sheena were hitting each other under the table, being like, did this bitch just bring that up again? Because I thought we moved on. Anyway, I would have liked to know more about that bartender. And I know they had to blur his face because I guess he didn't want to sign the release saying he fucked Sheena Shea on camera. But I wish I would have gotten to see a better look at him, because Sheena Shea, say what you will about that woman, but she's hooked up with a lot of hot guys. I'm not saying all the people on the show. There certainly have been some duds in there as well. But she's hooked up with some hot guys. And wasn't it a rumor she hooked up with JC Chazet? And so I always trust her when it comes to at least hooking up with men. Maybe not entering long-term marriages with men. I better bite my tongue, because I'm going to say something that I will regret. And so anyway, God bless anyone that Sheena fucked is my moral of that story. And somehow we need to get that man to sign a release for an upcoming episode, because I need to know who that is. And also, to production must have went up to that bartender and said, hey, can we have you sign this release form and show you on camera? And then he probably was like, why? And then they had to explain, like, oh, Sheena just said on a microphone that she fucked you. Like, is it okay if we air that? And he's like, nope. Yes, absolutely not. I will not sign that. And so that's what happened behind the scenes. I hate to spoil that for you guys, but if you want to break the fourth wall, that's exactly what would have happened, because otherwise they would have shown that man's face, because we all want to know what he looked like. And so, or showed him coming up to the table with a cocktail or something. You know, they asked him, they said, hey, can you go deliver some cocktails to this group? Like, just go on over there to Christina Kelly. She'll ask some questions and deliver them some drinks. And then Sheena can kind of blush and it'd be a fun little moment for Vanderpump Rules. But that man was like, absolutely not. I will not do that. And so he's just behind the bar. They had to blur out his little face. So those editors really had to, and I felt bad for him. But I would like to know exactly what his face looks like, because Brock's got a good face. I would like to see what, let me see. And if she fucked JC Chazet, that face card, come on. One of the best face cards I've ever seen. I hope I'm not making that up. I'm pretty sure that she did. I hope I'm not making that up. Didn't she say that somewhere? Was it on this podcast or something? I feel like that she had something, and we're going to have to get to the bottom of that. Anyway, oh, also at this table, Katie called Tom a demon. That's right. She called him a demon. I feel like she was listening to Everything Iconic, right? Because we say demon a lot here. Maybe she wasn't. Anyway, I was happy that she called him a demon because there's no better adjective sometimes. I'm sorry. It's not. Demon just really encompasses it all. Okay, we have lots more to talk about because we're just getting started, baby. So buckle up, buttercup. We're going to take a quick break here. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And then thank you to Acast, and we'll be right back. Icons, if you're anything like me, you probably have a subscription or two that you might have forgotten about, right? Or maybe something that you've paid twice for and didn't realize it. And that's why I'm so excited to talk to you about Rocket Money. Now, 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. There's so many things we do on our phones. We sign up for something and we don't realize we signed up for it. And that's where Rocket Money comes in. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. I'm saving some of that money. Now, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. So with Rocket Money, I have control over all those subscriptions and I can see a clear view of my expenses. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/iconic. That's rocketmoney.com/iconic. rocketmoney.com/iconic. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. And we're back.
I don't want peace.
So we get another, yet another scene of Tom Sinzaval sitting down with Lisa Vanderpump at Tom Tom Restaurant, where he is 2.5% owner, and they're doing some renovations there, and Sandoval shows up and he's like, why wasn't I consulted on this? And LVP says, because I don't consult 2.5% people who are in here. But it's like, that's the other thing that kind of bugs me a little bit about LVP is that it's like that 2.5% is when it's convenient. But when it's convenient for the Toms to be the face of this bar, it's like, that's a different story. So we can have like the big opening parties and we can have them showing up in Vegas late to a meeting and all that like bullshit storylines. And they could be the face and they're so influential and important to this bar. But then when it's also convenient for her to stand on camera, like, oh, you only owed 2.5%. It's like all a facade for whatever best suits the narrative of this television show, which of course it's reality TV. So that makes sense why that would be the case. But it is when you really start to take a step back and look at it, it's like, oh my God, they're tricking us. And that's another reason why I think Lisa Vanderpump just gives them alts. She's like, but alternate takes, I mean, alternate takes. She just sits down in front of the camera and she's like, what do you need me to say now? Who should I yell at? Who should I make fun of? Who should I throw under the bus? I'll do it. But she does always seemingly, or at least what happens on screen, always is her siding with the men. Inexplicably siding with the men, and she's got a business with them. But come on. And now she's probably going to side with Jax soon. She hated Jax. Remember, she basically kicked him off the show in his last episode, that finale episode. Do you remember? Where they're at, sir. And he's like, this is my show. And LVP's like, this is my fucking show. And then he like leaves. And that was, I think, his last episode outside of a reunion. And I feel like not, she's going to sit down with him a couple weeks and be like, well, I always loved you. And it's like, why are we sitting down with these men all the time? Like, why are we always rehabilitating these men on the show, who I will continue watching until they stop putting them on TV? But Tom Sinzaval, because I feel like I do get, I'm mean on the men sometimes on the show, and by sometimes I mean all the time. And so I just have to say, Tom Sinzaval did look really good in this scene. The hair, the muscles, the wardrobe was all working for me. The beaded jewels of a 12-year-old girl, the fresh manicure, it all, I don't know. It always, it was working a little, the look was working for me. I'm sorry. Except for maybe the manicure situation, we can maybe just do, I think we should do a fresh coat on there that's just not white. Just literally any other, it could be another color. I'm not even going to be picky now when it comes to Tom's grippers and his hooves. Because if he's going to paint them anyway, I'm just going to be here to politely recommend that he does anything other color. Any other color, any other kind of, I don't know, shine or sheen, or I don't care what he's putting on them grippers. Just, I feel like there should be some other thing. I can't look at his white painted nails anymore, especially because, again, he looks so good otherwise. I like his style. I liked his hair. I liked all of it. I could have maybe done without the beaded jewels. I feel like the straight guys are doing too many beaded jewel work now. I mean, they're all walking around with like a caboodle and beads at this point, because I just saw Justin Timberlake in a photo and he's got the pearls and the beads on. And now I'm just looking at every straight guy's wearing all these beaded necklaces like they're going to an Eras Tour concert. And it's like that. I feel like they're just appropriating the 12-year-old girl culture, which is something that adult women and gay men have been doing for years now. And so now I feel like they're taking over. And so I would maybe like for the beaded jewels to come off. And also, Tom Schwartz, can I just say, I think in real life, I don't know if we talked about this in the show, but I think in real life he did get a stylist. Did anyone else see this? That's right. I'm not saying on the show, but I have seen him in some like interviews or press stuff that he's done. And I'm like, he definitely did get a stylist, which I think is great. So good for him. And whatever the stylist was doing to him, it like looked good, at least in the outside press I saw him doing. Anyway, that was enough nice things to say about those two demons. Now, LVP says she talked. Oh my God, you guys, this was one of my favorite points of the whole episode, of probably this whole show. So I know I just talked a lot of shit about this show, but really this was like an incredible moment when LVP sits down and she breaks up with Tom Sinzaval for Rachel. So she... camera. So LVP says she talked to Rachel at length, she says. Now, in real time, in present day, Rachel and LVP have been arguing vis-a-vis the press. So I don't know if you followed any of that. It's like every time LVP gives an interview on like a red carpet or Entertainment Tonight or wherever, she's asked about Rachel, and LVP will do one of her classic little LVP digs, which she's really good at, but she always will throw a dig at Rachel, okay? And then Rachel has been saying and exposing things about LVP on her podcast. Like, I've seen clips on social media. So they are just like kind of going back and forth. But in the point of when this episode filmed, LVP says she had a conversation at length with Rachel about Tom Sinzaval. And so LVP sits across from Tom and is like, look, I talked to her at length. And Tom says, I loved her so much and she blocked me. And then that's when LVP is like, okay, well, I guess your relationship's over then. Just move on. And so... So LVP breaks up with Tom for Rachel on camera. But it's, I wonder what that conversation was like. And I think LVP actually didn't want to break up with Tom, but it was like when she found out that Tom was blocked by Rachel, I think she realized like she would never have that conversation with Tom on camera, Rachel. And so I think LVP, that's when she flipped course, because there was a quick little moment where LVP was like, you really need to try to call her. And then Tom was like, oh, she blocked me. And LVP's like, okay, then we're moving on. We just got to get that storyline moving. Like, let's go the other way. See, she gave another alt. Yeah, anyway, she breaks up with Tom. And also that's just another instance where it's like LVP, like I'm seeing her throw Rachel under the bus so many times. And yet I also am seeing her kind of stick up for Tom on camera and stuff. And it's like, why are, what? It's, I feel like I'm crazy. Does anyone else feel like crazy? Like what is... Everybody's siding with, and by the way, I just want to point out, like, even if all these people hated Ariana or like didn't want to be friends with Ariana or annoyed how she was acting or thought she was whatever, then just like that still doesn't mean you need to be friends with Tom Sinzaval because he did all these awful things, right? So like you could hate both of them is what I'm saying. If you hate Ariana, you don't have to pick a side here, do you? Like I don't understand like why we're all having to, why the cast, I mean, is having to pretend that they love Sinzaval all of a sudden. It's like just, you could just hate them both. That actually might make for an even better show. Could you imagine if the whole cast just hated both of them and everyone would just be like, what? The audience, then Allegiance, we would all be like watching, be like, wait, who am I supposed to side with? I don't know that. I feel like that'd be more interesting than what we're doing, which is like outcasting Katie and Ariana. And then Tom, though, is like the one where everyone's rooting for. I don't get it. Anyway, Lala, this is why she's rooting for Tom, because she's got a rebrand. She's got a rebrand to take care of. And so she cannot let the show go by the wayside when she's got a rebrand. She says she wants a sperm donor. Oh, wait, what is she? Her quote is, she said she invited LVP to her offices. Lala says this to LVP. I'm a bitch in these streets trying to rebrand and get a sperm donor. That's right. And good for her. Good for her. I mean, who among us isn't just trying to get a sperm donor and rebrand? I mean, I think I speak for all of us out there, ladies, am I right? We're all trying to rebrand and get a sperm donor. We all are, whether we're trying to get knocked up or not, we want the donor to come through. Do you know what I'm saying? We need that part of things. Even if you don't want the kid, you might want the you know what that's attached to the person who's going to help you make that kid.
I like dick.
And so I understand her, and she's got a rebrand. She's no longer going to give them Lala. She's going to change the name and not have her name in it, which I'm sorry, but give them Lala. I can't hear the word Lala without saying give them Lala. Like, I think that's good branding. So why are we moving away from that name? Doesn't seem smart to me, but it's what's happening. It's what's happening. Anyway, I don't really understand, why does she have offices? Do we know why she's got offices? Is it just with, she's got all that skincare. I forgot about her. Is her brand skincare? I don't even know what the brand is. I just stuck up for her brand, give them Lala. And I don't even know what the fuck she makes or sells. No fucking idea. No fucking clue. I think maybe like a lip balm or something. No, Christina Kelly sells the lip balm. But Lala does sell like moisturizer and lip kits and stuff. I don't think people buy them lip kits anymore. I think that was like a whole ruse, a drug front even maybe, not Lala specifically, but I think some of those lip kits, I don't know, maybe that we're going to have to look into those. There's going to be an expose one of these days, and we're going to turn on Hulu or whatever the fuck we're watching in the future, crackle.com. I don't know where we're going to be watching content, but we're going to tune in and we're going to just see an expose about all them lip kit companies and Kylie Jenner making $1 billion off lip kits. I don't know all that many people that bought the lip kits. I know I'm not a 16-year-old young gal, but I do have nieces, and I don't know that everybody was buying the lip kits in the way that they were saying they were buying the lip kits, because it felt like there was a short moment in time, I think it was like pre-pandemic, I felt like there was a moment where people were obsessed with stories about lip kits making money. Where it was like Kylie Jenner sold this many lip kits, and then other people were doing lip kits, and Lala was giving them Lala lip kits. And I'm like, who's buying all these lip kits? I just don't buy. Everyone's putting stuff on their lips like that. Not in the way they were telling us there was a drug front. I don't know if it was or something, maybe some tax fraud. I don't know. But something's going on there, and there's going to be some answers in the future. I just know it. So you mark this podcast, somebody take a timestamp of this moment, because we're going to come back to that and say, Danny was right. Danny was right. Anyway, I'm glad she's wants to have another baby. She's pregnant in real life, which we're excited, happy for her. Good job, Lala. We're happy for you. It was sad when she was talking about raising Ocean and how spending time with Ocean between parents is really hard for her. I can only imagine. Anyway, then we get to know Schwartz and Joe a little bit. Woo! I got the chills. You guys, seeing Joe, she's sort of like, Joe and Schwartz are like walking into Sir, and they're talking about farts, and I'm already weirded out. Did you see the new Inside Out 2 trailer? You know the movie Inside Out, one of my favorite Pixar movies? They're doing a part two. And in the part two, the preview trailer came out for it, and there's like a new emotion, a Pixar movie emotion, and it's anxiety. And so it's like this little cartoon character that's anxiety, played by Uma Thurman's daughter, Maya Thurman. Maya Hawke. It should be Maya Thurman. Okay, that's another problem with the patriarchy, but that's a tale for another time. Anyway, the anxiety cartoon, I was like, that sort of reminds me. And I understand that, because Joe walking in the camera for the first time was probably nervous. But then I also think she has like a nervous energy, which I relate to on some level, because I have a nervous energy as well. And so I feel like she brought a nervous energy and then being on camera, extra nervous energy. And so when we're watching her walk into a Sir and talk about farts with Tom Schwartz, it was weirding me out. And she even kind of did this like kind of character voice bit. Did you know what I'm saying? I felt like I was watching At the Groundlings. I felt like I was watching an SNL audition, or I was somebody do a character reel on TikTok. And I would bet money. I'd bet my life that Joe has taken an improv class. I would put my life on the line. I guarantee you, I guarantee you that that woman has taken at least one improv class. I don't know where, probably here in Los Angeles. She stepped foot in one, at least one. Because, and I know that as someone who spent way too much money on improv classes throughout my 20s, I know what an improv girly looks like. And so I'm certain I probably did an improv class with Joe. I probably was on stage somewhere. I bet you there's footage somewhere. If anyone would have come to any of those shows back in the day when I did them, certainly was no one in the audience back then, but there would be more. When I used to do improv, there would be more of us on stage than there would be in the audience. You know, you'd have like a, you'd have a show that started like 12:30 at night or, you know, after midnight. And then you'd be on stage. There'd be like 10 improvisers on stage. And you look in the audience, there's just like one person. It was like Anne cleaning the floor of the of the theater, and then like one person sitting down. Anyway, so I guarantee you actually that I was on a stage with Joe at some point in my 20s doing improv work, because it just feels, it feels real. And she also, wait, this is the weirdest part about Joe. So she has this thing with Schwartz, and I can't quite get a read on their dynamic at all, right? Like, it's flirty one minute, but then the idea of the two of them kissing, like I can't even imagine it. Like I feel like I have a good imagination and I can't even picture in my head. It just seems like, how would that happen? And then also he was like calling her Joseph, which I'm sorry, that like kind of takes out some of the sexy, right? And the dynamic when you're calling each other Joseph, right? Like it's kind of, I don't know. When I think Joseph, I think of Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I think of Joseph and Mary. I hate that I thought of the Technicolor Dreamcoat before the Bible person, but you know what I'm saying? Like, those are the Josephs I think of. As a Catholic, I should really think of of the main Joseph before I think of the one specifically portrayed in the Technicolor Dreamcoat play. But anyway, that's a tale for another time. That's something I'll explore with my therapist. Moving on. Yeah, he's calling her Joseph. She's from Wisconsin. So look, this is going to be tough for me too, because she's from Wisconsin. And I'm apt to like people from a place like Wisconsin. I just am. So this is going to be a challenge. We're going to have to go to bravotv.com for more information and see what happens live on this podcast in terms of Joe. Because right now, yeah, is she a little spooky? And does she remind me of the honeycomb? Yes. But she's from Wisconsin. And so I feel like I might end up loving her. Maybe. I'm sorry. Although actually I did turn on her when we learned about what was that thing about what she sent Katie? Didn't she send Katie a weird text or something after she broke up with Tom? I don't know if that came out this week or if it, but I remember there was like a weird text message and then Sandoval's there lurking in this restaurant. He just came from his thing with LVP, where they had ice cream too, by the way. Did you see he brought her ice cream? That is nice. That is probably the nicest thing I've ever seen that man do on this show. He brought someone ice cream, because that's, I know he's been bringing other people gifts on the show. He brought Schwartz them shoes for his hooves, and he's bringing gifts to people. Didn't he offer James sunglasses? Like he's being generous. But I think, like, how nice for somebody to bring, it was like artisanal. It was artisanal ice cream, I think. I don't believe it was just like a Haagen-Dazs, which we love as well. No, nothing wrong with that. But I do believe it was an artisanal. And sometimes I don't want to upset the ice cream industry, but I do think sometimes those artisanal ice creams, they're getting a little too creative with them. Because, you know, you get one, you go to the store now and you see like a lavender ice cream. I'm sorry, I don't want lavender ice cream. I don't want it. But I mean, I just want like a good cookies and cream. Maybe you could throw a little peppermint extract in there, and that's good enough for me for artisanal. But now you go into some of the, I mean, I'm in Los Angeles, and sometimes you go into these ice cream shops and like, just give me some fucking Rocky Road. Like, I don't need. other tea shit, lavender tea or ice cream or something. It's like, I'll just eat ice if I want that. Like, I don't want that kind of flavoring in my mouth. That's going to be cold. I'll suck on some ice and it'll be free. Okay. We didn't even get to Beverly Hills yet, you guys. See, did I have too much coffee again today? I'm trying to cut back. I think something about Vanderpump Rules just brings it out of me. It's like something about the show. Okay. So then they plan a Rat Pack night. That's right. The men, they plan the Rat Pack night. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And then we have Joe and Schwartz. They're doing shots. And Tom Sandoval also has a new bedazzled shirt in his confessional. That was shocking to me. Wait, was it him? One of the Toms had a bedazzled shirt. And I would just encourage them to unbedazzle it, because it was a lot to take in. And then it slips in Schwartz's confessional that he had sex with Joe. That's right. He had sex with Joe. It slips. Then Joe gets that confessional for the first time. She says this is also like some shady editing and throwing Joe under the bus because she's in the confessional saying like, yeah, we had a good relationship. Like we like each other, blah, blah, blah. And then Tom's in his confessional saying it's just platonic. But I'm like, if you just hooked up a month ago, and this is another reason actually that we should be pissed at Schwartz, because if Joe just slept with you a month ago and she's obviously has a different idea of the relationship, then you're not being communicative enough with this person. What are you doing? Then we have Allie has all the other gals over for astrology night. So she's making a little charcuterie board in the most Ohio way possible with pre-cut pepperoni. So she's got the pre-cut pepperoni slices. And I was shouting at the screen. Even Matt walked through the door. Matt walked in. He's like, what's she doing? Because she was making that charcuterie. And she just had these like thin slices of pepperoni that you put on the pizza. And he's like, what's that? You know? And I was like, yeah, exactly. And what I meant by yeah, exactly was like, I can't believe she's putting pre-sliced pepperoni on there. You can't do that with a charcuterie. And if you are going to put pre-sliced pepperoni, it's got to be a thicker slice, Allie. I'm sorry, you can't. Those are not pepperonis for a charcuterie. Those are pepperonis for a pizza. And I only know that because I had to learn that the hard way, probably the first time that I served my own charcuterie. And so sometimes it's tough love, Allie. And so although I'm rooting for you and I love you, I just have to tell you, you got to put those sliced pepperonis away and you got to put something else. You got to get the log and cut it yourself. Get the log, Allie. Get the log. Coincidentally, was a personal model of mine all throughout college, but that's neither here nor there. The point is you can't use the pre-sliced peps.
Saving!
At the astrology night, the gals also had a sparkling water debate about whether Pellegrino was the best sparkling water. And I just say, of course Pellegrino's the best sparkling water, although I have no relation to it. Okay, then we have Katie says at the astrology night when they're reading the charts that she's had a big dick in a previous life. And this is, she says she's on her last life. Allie's like, I think some of you on one of your early lives, and Katie, you're on one of your last. And Katie's like, yeah, girl, I know. Like, this is it for me. Like, she's like ready. She is ready. And sometimes Katie gets a lot of shit, and it's just because she's on her last life. And so she's had it. She's been through a lot. And so I think we just need to grant her that grace because she's been living these lives for a long time now. And the rest of us might be on one of our earlier lives. And just imagine if you've lived, let's say you've lived 10 lives already. You're fucking exhausted. I'm exhausted by this one that I'm in right now. So the fact that she's lived a bunch of previous ones in different eras of time, no less, you know, imagine having to live in the, through the 1910s or I don't know, some other era. And then by this point in 2024, you're like, God damn, I've seen too much. Like, let me just, I'm done. I always think that about with like health advancements. Do you ever think like we're going to get really old? Like we're going to be 90, 100 years old. And then they're going to just come out with this technology that can keep us alive forever. And it's like, would you do that? Like at a certain point when you're 120 years old, I would think you'd be like, okay, I've seen enough. Like a girl, I'm tired. And I'm just ready to go somewhere else. Like, I don't know. Not to say, is that too dark of me to say on a podcast microphone? It's true. I'm not saying I want to go now. I'm just saying by 100 years old, I might be like, okay, I'm done. Like nothing else to watch on TV. Like I've had it. I've watched everything. That'd be the only thing I'd be concerned about. Was like, I watched everything and I'm good now. I'm all caught up on Housewives. And so it's not my time to go. And so I'll just be saying goodbye to like a hologram of Andy Cohen. I'm like, it's my time. I no longer need to watch this network, but it's going to take a while. That would only come at like year 100. But I think about that a lot, like when you get that old. Anyway, Allie does read all their astrology charts. She says Sheena puts everyone else first. Yes? Yeah, that's what she said. Okay, Ariana reveals this thing about being on her last 2K before Scandval. And then Lala, she's wearing money pajamas.
Saving!
I don't know. That was shocking to me. She was wearing money pajamas. And then the boys, meanwhile, were at the steakhouse. They were all dressed fancy. And I was worried that we were going to get Jax in this scene. But then it turns out Jax didn't show up. He's going to show up next week on the show. And then Katie and Lala get in a fight. Katie says, say it with your whole chest, bitch. You know, and then Lala's like, you do not want it with me, bitch. Disengage. You know, and they're all pointing at each other and yelling, bitch. You know, and these two have a lot of trouble. And I'm excited to watch it play out. Lala and Katie, I'm very fascinated by this dynamic. And also Lala looked really pretty in the black confessional look with the high pony. I just thought she looked good. Anyway, Allie ends the episode actually by saying, we're all meant to be different. We're all meant to get along if you just learn everyone's birth charts. And so she's right. She's going to bring these girls together and I can't wait for it. And Allie, really, I hope she takes center stage next season because I love her. That's when we get the mid-season trailer too. And we talked a little bit about that. And I'm also fascinated by Brock and Sheena. In the trailer, she says like, she sits down with Brock and she's like, we're not going to make it. But I think that's a fake out. There was also a fake out in the trailer that bugged me when it was like a murder mystery thing. And I think they show like Brock or someone's like falling to the ground. They're like, ah, you know, they scream and fall to the ground. I'm like, they're at a fucking murder mystery. And they're trying to make it seem like Brock just dropped dead on camera. like we do not need that fake out. Don't try to trick me. They're always trying to pretend they're going to die. It's like coming up the rest of the season on Vanderpump Rules. And then we see just like Brock fall to the ground and grab his chest. And I'm like, I don't think that's a heart attack. We would have heard about that. You're at a murder mystery party and he's probably the one that's meant to die. But yet on the preview, you'd think that Brock just dropped dead, like rest in peace. And it's like, he's still with us. I know. I follow him on Instagram. I know he's still with us. Those thighs are still, his stems are walking all around town. So come on, don't try to bamboozle me. Okay, that's the end of Vanderpump Rules. Let's take another quick break. This is going to be a long episode. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Let's talk about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I have to change the subject for a minute.
Okay, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, this is the final part of the reunion. Kathy arrived.
You are the biggest bully in Hollywood, and everyone knows it.
That was a clip from last season of Kathy at the reunion. And this season, I don't know why she's at the reunion. I guess stick up for Kyle, but then ultimately, I didn't feel like I really got any information about Kyle and Kathy. Did anyone else kind of feel let down? Like, if the whole reason was to have her there to explain the dynamic between her and Kyle... I felt like her appearance could have been an email. Like it wasn't, I didn't really, the thing that I loved about Kathy coming out on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion was when she sat down next to Erica Jayne and they were having like a Statler and Waldorf, you know, they were having like kind of a commentary side thing happening. And I was like, I want more of that fucking duo because it was fast. Like Andy was asking Kyle questions or there was some stuff going on with Sutton. And I was just watching Erica and Kathy just have their little chats on the side. And I'm like, I just need that, their commentary on everything. And quite frankly, I would like them to sit down and reboot the People's Couch and just have where we're them watching something else or put them on one of those streaming, you know, that Peacock was doing those where they were doing watch parties and stuff. I want to see Kathy and Erica Jayne just watch other stuff. I know Kathy said on the reunion, she doesn't watch TV. She says she just watches clips on Instagram of the show. Oh, but she likes Watch What Happens Live. She says, because it's quick. She says it goes by real fast. And so that's what she likes about it. But anyway, I want her and Erica Jayne just sitting down. I want to see them watching TV. Erica says people fear Kathy. And just as we're about to get into this, what seems like an interesting conversation, then I'm also very excited to watch Kathy confront Sutton. But then Sutton, unfortunately, has my grandma would say is a spell. I know, I guess it was, did we get confirmation? I guess it was dehydration. But my grandma, she would have called it a spell. Do you know, like she would have said, oh, she had a spell. You know, that's what my grandma used to say. Anytime you get like a hot flash or you could break your arm or whatever it was, my grandma would always say, oh, he had a spell. And that just meant like he got sick, had to go to the hospital, had a spell. You know, if you get fainted, you have a spell. Anyway, she had a spell and then she had to go. And then Kathy says she's just getting a hot flash. She's like, well, you're 50 now. And then Anna Marie was like trying to chime in and she's like, oh, I think we should get an ambulance. And it's like, no shit, Anna Marie. No shit. The only thing she said the whole episode, I felt like Anna Marie last week, she said one line. Like there was one line that Anna Marie said last week. And then this week on the show, the only line she got was, we should call an ambulance. And, you know, she was trying to act like the healthcare expert. And that's the only thing she said the whole episode. So two parts of a three-part reunion, we got like two lines from Anna Marie. And the first part, it wasn't like she was so memorable either. And so it's like, I almost feel bad. It's like sad to me that this person came on TV and is barely getting any screen time. Like I feel bad for her almost, not exactly, but almost. And by almost, I mean like I could see it in the distance. Like if I close, like if I close my eyes, like in the far off distance, I see a sign that says, feeling bad for Anna Marie. And so it's like, I close my eyes and like faintly see it in the distance, but I'm not quite there. So I just want, I want to just clarify that. But she didn't really have much to say or do this week. So I don't see her coming back. I don't know what's going to happen. Okay. So then they have to take Sutton away when she gets her spell. And then Kathy was pissed because she said she was about to attack Sutton. Then they have to talk about more Kathy being too powerful. And she really is the Thanos of Housewives, I think, Kathy. She does. She is. And then, yeah, they talk to Kathy. Kathy gets more on this reunion than Anna Marie did. And Kathy wasn't even in the season at all. Did not appear not one time. Did Kathy even show up to any events on camera? I don't think she did the whole season. And yet she's at the reunion more screen time than Anna Marie. Like, what the fuck is that? Anyway, oh, they bring up Agency and Mauricio. And what's so frustrating about this is that Netflix, again this week, I've been saying this on the podcast before, Netflix released another preview for Mauricio's upcoming season of his Netflix show. And in the preview for the season, or in the preview that they released, we see him talking about the dynamic between Rick Hilton and Kathy and the businesses when the agency split and when he left Rick's company to start the agency. And we see him sit down and very clearly say how it happened, right? And then, so we see that clip comes out online. I watch it, and I know not everyone saw it because the show's not even out right now. It's for a preview for an upcoming season. And so I know not everyone saw it, but I find it so frustrating because then I'm watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and the way it's addressed on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is kind of like that Kyle way of being like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. And look, I get it. Kyle's trying to save her family, and also she's being way more respectful than Mauricio is. I understand that, but as a viewer of a reality TV show, it's very frustrating that I've dedicated so much time to this program, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and I'm waiting to hear an answer that makes sense. And in this reunion, we're hearing Andy say, like, what exactly happened between the agency and when he left and all that stuff. And Kyle kind of says a little kind of something, but then he's like, I don't want to talk about that. And I, again, respectfully to Kyle, I get that, but I'm watching this reality TV show, and to see a clip from Netflix where it's explained perfectly clear in a 30-second on Twitter, it's frustrating. And then I feel like Kyle's always playing coy about all these questions that are asked, and I don't know. And she's licking those lips all the time. Like, why is she licking her lips every second? Like, what's on those things? What is she? She's like a dog who just had some peanut butter, I feel like. This whole reunion, every time I look at Kyle Splits Richards on screen, she's licking her lips. Every single time. I mean, I guess it's, isn't that like they say, like a filler thing? Or maybe it's a nervous tick, or I don't know what. It could be anything. Who knows? And God bless. But it's a little bit distracting just because every time she's, I feel like she's doing like a share lick of the lip things. And it's, I swear, it's like when a dog eats peanut butter and you just see them like, I'm sorry to make that sound on the podcast. I know a lot of you are going to probably leave me a bad review because of that sound. I'm sorry. Okay, we need to wrap this up. Let's see. They take Sutton away and then, oh yeah, so that thing pissed me off about Mo. Also, every time they show that weed dinner package or anytime they show footage from the weed dinner, does anyone else get scared by Kyle's futuristic hair? I feel like I'm looking at a Fanta commercial. Like every time they flash back to that. They also talk about Morgan. Morgan and I don't know. I don't feel like I got any good answers about Morgan either. Do you? I feel like I got a lot of Kyle. Like maybe I could date her one. Like I felt like she was saying there was nothing between them. They're just friends. But then she said something like, well, I could maybe one day. Crystal also, it was making me laugh that Crystal accidentally got the first chair. because Sutton had that spell, so they had to cart her off, and then Garcelle went with her. And so Crystal accidentally got the first chair next to Andy on that couch because they just moved him down. And so Anna Marie, of course, was still at the end. Like, they even moved her from one end to the other, one couch end to the other couch end. It was like, when Kathy, when Kathy arrived, they're like, Anna Marie, go sit on the other couch, and you're still in the corner on the end, but just on the other couch. And then it was like Sutton and Garcelle had to leave. And then so everybody got moved and shuffled around. And then Anne Marie's still on the end. But luckily, Crystal got to sit next to Andy briefly. I wonder if Crystal will be back. I don't know if Crystal will be. I don't know. Maybe she will be. I'm always interested in Crystal, but I feel like she comes alive at the reunions more than she does during the season. And so I don't know. But Andy brings up Morgan, and oh, Kyle says that Morgan wasn't comfortable with the attention. But then, like, why did they ask for the attention? And then why did they do that with the music video thing? And they even showed the musical video thing, and it was weird. We saw footage of Kyle on set shooting that music video, and she was saying that she just wanted to give him something to talk about. But then on the reunion stage, she was saying, like, she did the music video before any of the rumors started or something. I don't know. I just thought she was lying to us. It was like talking in circles too about Morgan. If it is too hard, I totally understand, but like, just don't do the show then. But this is what the gig is. But yeah, I don't believe it. Oh, Morgan's not comfortable with his attention, but like, we just keep being seen by paparazzi. And then we shot a music video where I played her love interest. And then I filmed with her on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills getting a tattoo together. Like, it's all a bag of bullshit. And so it's like, is she comfortable with attention or not? Obviously she is. My eyes are seeing that she is comfortable, Morgan, with the attention. She's also an entertainer, performer. She performed at your person's event on camera. We saw her get a tattoo with you on camera. Like, it seems like she's pretty comfortable to my eyes, but then you're saying she's not comfortable with the attention. What the fuck? And that's, I think, the issue I've had with this season with Kyle. It's like, you're making me feel like I'm a madman, which I am in a lot of ways, but I feel crazy when she's saying Morgan doesn't like the attention. And then the whole thing just ends, and it's like, okay. And Andy even yawned at the end. Did you see Andy yawned? Like, the whole thing ended with Andy yawning. And it was like, what? And Kyle saying, I'm evolving, changing. I don't know what the future holds. And then the show ends with Andy yawning. So anyway, God bless. We do love him. And I just want to reiterate, because we're at the end of the season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, that I want the best for Kyle the Splits Richards. I do. I think she's given us so much culturally. And no matter how, I want her to just be the best, whoever she wants to be. I want everyone to just embrace who they are and be the kind of person that they are. I just don't want to feel like I'm being tricked as I'm watching these shows, or I'm being... Anyway, I love you all so much for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll be back next week. Again, you can get my books on everythingiconic.store. You can get signed copies of my books, and we also sell Everything Iconic merch there, everythingiconic.store. Thank you all. Love you all so much. Bye-bye.